Coming from the Lower Haight in San Francisco, it's the Are You Serious Show.
Are you serious?
I'm Are You Serious, and this is my show. Yes, indeed. It's another Are You Serious show. We just keep on cranking them out. And today, we're very happy to have Will Franken as part of our show. A great comedian. You've heard him here before, and you'll hear him here again, and you'll hear him here today. And we're here in the studio with our usual gang of three: Jeff Deal and Diana Brown. And welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Welcome. Come right in. You can't afford to miss this.
Step right up. Now, I was reading on Boing Boing recently that Japanese youths are like chimps in the wild. And before anyone gets upset, let me explain. At Kyoto University, a primatologist suggests that Japanese young people wielding mobile technologies are acting increasingly like chimpanzees. This gentleman's name is Nobo Masataka, and he has entitled his study Monkeys with Mobile Phones. He says that young people have lost the ability to discern between public and private spaces, and he adds that they have formed what he calls out-and-about tribes.
And they have a word for all that, taco tribes or something like that.
Yes,
I've spoken to somebody about
it.
Let's
see, it's a Deruki Zoku. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but out and about tribes. And he says there's been a dramatic increase in Deroki.
What are these things? What are they?
what? Jeff's just woken up from his tryptophan hangover, and I need to say this for him again because, you know, he's an important part of our group. This is a primatologist.
No. I just want to know what this out and about tribe is. What does that mean?
What do they do? He goes on to say that they make places. They are getting tired of going to new places and meeting people. So they are just wandering the streets together with the same old friends, and they aren't really going anywhere. They're just sort of wandering around.
But they're together?
Yeah, little packs of them.
What do they need their phones for then?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I mean, I guess they're text messaging each other and they don't have to talk.
They must have to go home once in a while, so they text message each other about where to get together.
Or do they like come and go?
But mostly they just wander around together.
They don't go home and have dinner with their family.
Now, they get hungry,
they just go into a convenience store, buy something, and eat it on the curb.
See, this was advocated actually by the Situationists. They call it the derive, and the idea is you would wander aimlessly through urban areas.
And this they've embraced this then.
Yeah, it seems cool. But apparently, according to this film, they're a little bit stuck. Like, they just stay in particular areas.
Exactly. They get tired of new experiences, I guess. Right. They're overwhelmed.
Get tired of new experiences.
And meeting new people.
It gets exhausting. It does get exhausting.
There's something about this whole thing that smacks of ignorance.
I would not say that this is exclusive to, you know, Japanese youth. I mean, I don't think people have maintained the ability to decipher between, you know, public and private space, because I'm enjoying people's public phone conversations everywhere I go.
Right. And plus, if this professor is like some stodgy 65-year-old jerk who like is just sick of these young kids and their irrational behavior.
Young whippersnappers!
Takes a look and says they act like a bunch of chimps.
Yeah, what a bunch of chimps. I'll write a paper.
But who knows? I mean, maybe it is. There is some devolution.
Well, he says it closely resembles the behavior patterns in chimpanzees.
I mean, they drop their pants and shit anywhere, isn't that?
That's kind of what they say, which tend to travel in groups, walking a long time without going anywhere.
They go to public places to grab junk food and then
sit down on the curb.
They
leave their refuse
in public bathrooms, and they have no home life.
You seem to know an awful lot about this. Now, when were you last in Japan, and are you a member of one of these out and about tribes?
I've decided to become a Japanese teenager.
I do a bit about a homeless fire now, which is like a newscast about the homeless fire has killed almost all of San Francisco's natural homeless, and like it's their trees. And the people move out here for the homeless, but the fires are common. And somebody said somebody else had a bit about setting a homeless person on fire, and he explained it to me, but it wasn't the same. It's like not delivered in the same format. My big fear is doing something, and somebody else turns it into a stand-up line.
Do people borrow from one another in the stand-up world?
There was a poetry slam thing that was really... I say somebody else did a poetry slam thing not too long after I started doing mine. And I know they'd seen it. They kept talking about how much they liked it. And I still think Poetry Slam is esoteric enough where it's like hands off. Like,
right.
You know, if you're doing a poetry reading, I think that's generic enough. But a poetry slam, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people in New York, for example, knew what a poetry slam was. Like when they came and I did that bit.
So you think it's indicative of the West Coast?
Yeah.
They show it on TV, I think, don't they? HBO or whatever.
The Deaf Poetry Jam. We lived with three of those guys, my wife and I.
No.
We were hard up, man. I was living in my car, and then I got a place there. And we lived with three of those guys, man, and it sucked.
That's where
I got my bits, listening to those guys rehearse. And one night, it was just some horrible line about, I drink a 12-pack of beer, and I heard the other guy say, that is Shakespeare. And I said, fuck, man, we're dying. We're going right in a fucking toilet. I said something about William Blake, too. I said something like, you read William Blake? And the guy says, a little antiquated, isn't it? I said, that's the problem, man.
Okay.
And it's Bukowski. They love Bukowski because he drank.
Yeah.
Right. He's a drinking. He fought and drank.
There's this whole ethos around the poetry slam, the type of people that they are.
Who you're supposed to dig.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of, we dig you, and we were reading your website, and you have had a very interesting life,
mm-hmm.
and yet your own life experiences don't end up in your act. It's more your interpretations and responses to what happens around you.
Mm-hmm.
Character-based work, right?
A lot of character-based stuff, but my dad does find his way in sometimes. I have a new ending, which I can't really give away, but he's finding his way in there.
Wow.
Bit by bit. He was a psycho. He was a real psycho. But there's a line about how he broke my nose with a shop vac years ago. It was a shop vac. I used to say wet vac. You know what those things are?
Like a wet dry vac.
Yeah, but I said it when I said wet vac, and they thought I said wet back.
Oh.
So they thought my dad beat me with a Mexican. He hated Mexicans, and he hated me.
I hate it when fathers do that, yeah. Most of all.
One stone.
Absolutely. No, eventually I think it might find its way in. But
where did you grow up?
Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of white trash people out there.
Well, a lot of your stuff isn't just like straightforward stories either. It's
right.
Like the weird twists and
little situations, you know. Some commercials, some TV,
all character based
stuff. Yeah.
What sparks you to create a character?
Usually, well, like a lot of times, hate. Like I will hate. Somebody like these. We lived with some Burning Man people for a couple months, man. And I just fucking hated it. I hate festivals. I hate this. Oh, we're all working together to create this big pile of concrete, and that's gonna stop the war. It's like fuck off. I hate all. You're like zombies, like pod people. No offense to the podcast people. I mean, pod in a negative way. But.
No, we're like pod people.
The real.
Yeah, once
pod.
You leave, you know.
Once the shunt is.
We just stare straight ahead for a week until the next person.
There you go. Yeah.
And then we click on.
Yeah.
We were talking about festivals, and I remember I'll never forget, the first Earth Day here, the amount of garbage that was left behind after our first Earth Day was just monumental.
No, that's one. Sometimes it's just like a weird, I get really happy and start talking to myself, and just something will come out. But a lot of times, like with the poetry slam, it was just, you know, I said to my friend one night, I said, you know, I'm going to do a bit where T.S. Eliot loses to some asshole. You know, and he laughed at the concept, and I said, okay, I should run with it. And originally it was going to be T.S. Eliot, but he's not British, so he wouldn't have the...
Right.
So he needed to make a Milton just to give him that British accent. John Milton has the most poetic... T.S. Eliot was great, because he sounds like a rapper. Like T.S. Eliot.
It's true.
T.S. Eliot.
M.C.T.S.
I have a version now where William Blake comes at the end of it, and he just real nervous, looks around, he starts to... Then he delivers it all like a black man. And then when he ends, he goes, was that okay?
That's fabulous.
Did I win the cash prize? Because I didn't make any money selling these.
Could you feel that?
Yeah.
Did you feel me then?
Well, he closes with, I wander through each charted street and where the charted Timsters flow, suck it. You know, the suck it, chew it, fuck it, lick it, and suck it. My favorite new bit now is I've been wanting to make fun of burlesque performance art for a while.
Oh, because that's such a big trend.
Yeah, my wife and I, before we got married, we went to one of these shows. I had to open up for this burlesque feminist show. Mm-hmm. Where women came out with dildos and stuck them in some green goop and sucked them, and they had bull whips, and this was feminism. But then all the guys were going, "Ooh, take it off!" So I've got this new bit now where I come out and says, "Do you like hot, wet, drippy pussies? How would you like to jizz all over your cum? If you like girl on girl dominatrix action, then come to the Berklee Center for Cultural Expression this Saturday." And it's this whole feminist empowerment seminar.
Now that's one that they're going to end up using.
Right.
Oh, I totally know what you're saying, because when I first moved here after a year, I just wanted to wear a fur coat and walk down the street screaming racial epithets, eating raw meat, and that's not how
it's
really am.
It's the racial epithet, yeah.
But it just, you get to a point where there's this backlash in your head, and I can't take one more PC moment.
Yeah, that's gotten some good response, and that's really made me feel good, because it's one of those things that you're not sure if everybody else is on the same page with you until you do it.
Exactly.
And so I did a philosophy of the Matrix class recently. Takes place in the year 5220, where terms like Keanu Reeves, Buddhisty type yin yang thing have become like academic terms. And we did it at the Marsh, and it got these ovations, and people were really digging. I thought, I know my wife and I hated the movie. We didn't hate it, but I hated the fact that it was, you know,
it needed to be taken apart.
It needed to be taken apart, because there were academic books coming out called The Philosophy of the Matrix, and
that's terrifying.
Some people don't deserve. I think I'm not a big believer in democracy, because there's a lot of people that. My wife and I strongly believe that not everybody really deserves a higher education. See, the problem is the higher education is lowering itself to accommodate people that probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. So you get a lot of people like, it's kind of Buddhist-y. It's like Joseph Campbell said that about Star Wars. It's like yin yang. Like Darth Vader is like dark because of his like dark uniform, and that's like yin yang.
He represents
these people go to college now, right? So that's our big thing.
We're gonna forget kind of Buddhisty.
Kind of Buddhisty.
We're gonna make a T-shirt.
We're gonna break for a moment and listen to a kind of Buddhisty tune, and then we'll be back for the close of the show.
Are you serious?
while we were listening to him sing or looking around at the picture of Richard Nixon bowling.
Oh, that is cool. I don't know.
Will Franken said that he was youth-phobic. And youth-phobic. Talk a little bit about the youth of America. They're our future.
The youth gave us poetry slams. They also gave us the current state of MTV.
Yeah.
So why are we listening to them? That's what I the future. They're not the future, man. They're the death. Listen to the youth. The youth have a lot to say, and I like to see a backlash against the youth. You know, I like to see, like I was talking about, you know, with the this war against the past and how we want to get rid of history and we just want to be smug. And I think it came out with the Beatles, and the problem with that, this generation gap, maybe with Elvis, where we started listening to the youth and what the youth had to say. The problem was the Beatles were good.
Yes.
And then now each successive generation is like, you know, giving out more shit, and we're still listening to it.
Well, then, I mean, with punk rock, the idea was, you know, ditch everything from the past, right, to even ditch rock and roll history.
But so. I love punk. The problem is I don't think we should still have punk. I don't know why there's still punk bands. I think after the Sex Pistols, music should have started all over.
Well, I love right it, yeah. Punk started because psychedelia had gone on too long, and then punk went on for
long.
Still going, baby.
It's still going.
I am still surprised that rap is here.
Yeah.
When rap came out, they did the Super Bowl Shuffle. Was it? I don't know. There were a couple of the Beastie Boys came out, and I thought this is neat. It'll end soon.
Remember Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight?
It was the first one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I thought it would end within a year. I'm shocked that we still have it. And that we seem to make a lot of concessions. Like, there was an argument about sampling that lasted for about 6 months. Like, is it ethical? Is it right? Should we allow that? And now we've just given up. It's like, that's the way of life.
That's the way it's done, yeah.
We've conceded that that's the way it should be. I want to draw this symbol for rap, which is, I mean, how much I hate rap and techno. Did I fuck that up? But it's this visual symbol where a guy's holding a skull or the head of a live human and vomiting in that person's ear, which is the universal sign for rap and techno. And I take a lot of flack for that. I was telling this.
Yeah, I like techno.
I told my friend in New York this, and he's just like, I can't believe, and he comes at it from this racist point of view, that I'm, you know, dissing the legitimate African-American experience, and I don't think the African-American experience is fucking that black bitch up her ass or whatever. I don't think that that's the black experience, really. Yeah. And if I'd put out down jazz and gospel and, you know, all these other forms, then he might have a case, but I think, you know, when you put down rap, but they've always got the race card to fire back at with you.
Right.
You know, if you don't like rap, well, that's their legitimate experience, and you don't, and you're just dismissing that. So, yeah.
So, what are you listening to right now? What do you enjoy?
It sounds snobbish, but I like the last 7 months have just been classical, mostly like Beethoven's piano concertos, and I like Brahms a lot. But see, I never knew a lot of classical.
You're discovering it now.
I'm kind of rediscovering it.
It's refreshing when you've grown up with nothing but rock and roll in your ear to suddenly start hearing other types of music.
Right, because you hear where it all came from. I mean, Beethoven really probably was the first rock and roller in a lot of ways, you know, these thunderous ovations and stuff.
His music was pop music at the time.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. And before that, though, it was like a lot of glitter. I love glitter.
I was a glam rocker myself.
Were you?
Yeah. You can tell just by looking at
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I like rock. I used to go down to watch the New York Dolls. Like,
I love the New York Dolls. Oh, yeah. Roxy, we're a big Roxy Music fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot. It's weird, too. Like, you go to the jukeboxes here, you don't see any Roxy Music or Velvet Underground. New York, they have, like, Velvet Underground, Roxy, Kinks. I mean, all the stuff I was, as far as rock and roll. Lou Reed, I'm really always been a fan of. Street Hassle. And, just authentic New York or England, where most of my musical tastes come from.
It's that whole period in New York around 74 through 76.
Yeah.
Everybody doing their own quirky, weird shit.
I can't think of much in California that came out of California that I really dig. The Doors, maybe some things of the Doors, and the Beach Boys, obviously.
Is there, so who's like an up-and-coming band, maybe New York or
I have no idea what's going on in the musical world right now.
Well, if you have some good ideas of music you think Will would enjoy, you can.
There you go. That's we just listened to Will Franken's originals.
White Stripes. That was the one group I heard.
Yeah,
I like
the White Stripes a lot.
They're pretty quirky. Yeah.
My wife is curious, so I bought her that for her birthday, and I ended up listening to it. I said, I can't believe it. This sounds like old rock and roll. I was really impressed.
Have you heard the duet that the guy from White Stripes did with Loretta Lynn?
No.
It's very cool.
No shit.
You should check it out.
I have one last question. Can you picture yourself as a regular guest host on The Tonight Show, kind of like George Carlin was in the 1970s? Can you imagine your...
I can't picture that, no.
It is hard to imagine. You know, I mean, one thought I had was that Carlin didn't really get radical until after
that
period.
Yeah.
So,
He had to be freed up. People, I've met some TV people, like in New York, and so they have these meetings, and I'm learning how the L.A. people talk and New York people talk about. And they said, so what do you want to do? And I think that means on TV. And I said, you know what? If you would ask me that like 10 years ago, I would know. Because TV, I used to watch more TV. But I have no conception of what TV is anymore. Like,
Because the youth are running it now.
Yeah, there's just these weird graphics and faces melt and handheld cameras. I hate that.
So
shit.
I think
Will,
not a
Will Franken is having a bummer right in front of us.
Well, there's some good stuff out there. I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm and
most of the HBO stuff is just unbelievable.
They're it's right true. On. Sopranos is amazing. Right. That is so much more than a mob story.
Well, there's also the Deadwood.
I haven't
Western
seen that yet.
Deadwood is phenomenal.
And there's Entourage, which is really
it's
new one. So
it's very funny.
They're in the second season now.
Yeah, if you hate young people, though, you're gonna
these are a bunch of guys from Queens who their buddy makes it big in Hollywood, so they move out.
They're all hanging out
it's
with him.
Fun.
Okay,
it's pretty fun. Yeah.
It is.
I'm not saying that all the youth are bad or I hate somebody just because they're youth, but I think
come on.
I don't like I don't like communities. Anytime anybody is gathered under a community, like whether it's Christian Americans or Poetry Slam people or Burning Man or whatever, I just immediately.
That makes me think of the quote from the New York Times Review where he spoke of you sitting doing a particular character that looked out and said, "This is a safe place."
Oh, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that routine.
I think I was doing the sexual harassment counselor.
Okay,
and this is like. That's the one part where I invite the audience to play along. And I'm doing this counselor bit, and the entire way through it's been like watching a television set, and at the end they just say, like, what do we call that, guys? I do my feminist empowerment commercial, hot, wet, drippy pussies. And so I break character, and I go, let's talk about that bit. Let's talk about what's going on there. I'm trying to get the audience to answer, what is that sexual harassment?
Right.
And I think it's always funny because the audience isn't sure, are we allowed to talk here, or are you just using us? Like, and I said something about, there's no fourth wall here. This is a safe place. I want you to feel comfortable to talk back. It was a lot of fun. I think New York crowds, the major difference is that I think they get more theatrical references.
Do people know how to break into that? I mean,
how to speak
once you invite them to.
Yeah, it's very simple, too. I mean, it's like I invite them all to, I'll tell these hypotheticals. Yeah. Let's say we've got an employee named Lisa, and she needs some copies made, and she goes up to the guy in the copy shop. Let's call him Miguel. He's always Spanish. You know? Can you make me some copies? Yeah, but you've got to give me a blowjob. Okay, what is that guy, sexual harassment? So I break up into small groups, and then, they get the answer right. They get a beer. Like, I'll whip out a beer
sessions.
Out of nowhere. There's one, at one point, I'm talking about target behaviors and how sexual predators pick their targets. And I pick, attractive female in the front row usually, and I'll say, let's talk about target behaviors. Let's say, what's your name, sweetie? Lisa? Okay, let's say Lisa goes to work tomorrow wearing nothing at all but a dab of honey she smeared on her pubic hair. Okay, is she making herself a target? And it's... I've never had it happen where there was one time in New York where the woman just gave me this look like... But they're good in San Francisco and New York. We're really good at just like going along with it. And I guess it's shocking, but people will stare at the woman because in order for the joke to work, they've got to imagine
everybody's got a
little dab of honey. It actually happened to me once. I was with this woman and she put honey on her pubic hair, and I did not want to eat her out. I was not interested at all. But you felt guilty. You felt like you were socially obligated.
After she dressed it for you.
Was this after you'd done your routine?
No, way before.
Maybe you'd provoked a sexual fantasy, in which case you would be responsible to for.
Well, so
for,
that is a real. That's an example of a real life scenario finding its way in. I'll never forget the honey in the pubic hair.
Your
life is working its way.
It works its way. I just thought it was a rude thing to do. Because
you might be allergic to honey. Did she ask you?
Well, no. But if I left there that night, not eating the honey off the pubic hair, I would have felt bad for her. That must have been embarrassing. Because if I'd put like Nutella on my penis, and just stood
it's
there
like
with
a
the
whole
chocolate
new egg on your face thing.
I can tell you
she
that goes over really well. Yeah, definitely. try that sometime.
Yeah.
It
so, listeners, RU is giving you some insight into his
Nutella,
life.
Yeah. Nutella is the only thing, actually.
Absolutely.
That would work. Anyway, we want to thank Will Franken one more time. And we do want to apologize to the RU Sirius radio community if anybody out there in our community has been offended by anything any of us said. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Will Franken. The music you heard today was Do You Wanna Cause It's Tricky My Sharona, a mashup from thriftshopxl.net. Next week, our guest will be Jay Babcock, the editor